we'll start with questions.
Yeah, I have a question about cause and effect. And it seems like resting, the cause and effect seems to be sort of resolving. And I get confused whether to trust cause and effect as I've learned it, and this thing, this beyond cause and effect that appears from resting, I simply get confused. That's what I would like you to talk about.
Do you have a specific example of something that we'd
It seems like also what you say about what awareness focuses on, that's what it realizes. So if I focus on funny things happening, not happening, then that's what I see. And can I trust science? Can I not trust science? Could I listen to New Age explanations of my condition as, you know, being sick, whatever, you know? I'm getting confused, simply. That's it, really. Thank you.
Hi.
Hello.
I think I've got quite a specific question, if it comes out properly. But it's actually to do with being here, because I think a feeling that I had when I first came here, and I know a few other people shared the feeling, is that when they came here, because we were understandably put straight to work, because there was a lot of stuff to do organising the centre, I think there was this kind of lost, sort of lonely feeling, because you were suddenly put to work and there wasn't much kind of sharing and discussion and the kind of stuff that I expected from after doing the 12 inquiries, that just love that I felt between people. I didn't really feel it, and I know a few other people didn't feel the same, and they felt a little disillusioned. And then after the sort of work died down and everyone just suddenly realised they were all having this same feeling, it was just like this big, big sigh. Everyone's like, oh, we're all feeling the same. Okay, and then it all just relaxed and it was all lovely. And but I can't help thinking that if we just listened to that point of view rather than everyone kind of resting with it, because it seemed like everyone was resting with it and almost ignoring that feeling. And so nothing got done about the feeling that everyone was having. And I can't help thinking that if everybody had just listened to that point of view and said, hang on a minute, I'm feeling a bit lonely here and a bit lost. And everyone's like, oh, so do I. And then it would have happened a lot earlier and everything would have felt a little nicer. So I'm a little confused with like how... So I suppose it's a question with actual action, like point of view and what you actually act upon it, like the resting with it, and then there's acting upon certain things to actually make things. Yeah, I'm a little confused on that. I can't help thinking that if you sometimes listen to feelings and points of view and act upon them, things would be a bit easier.
Oh, yeah. The rule book. Where's the rule book? The regulations, rules and regulations. Thank you. Anyone else?
It's a little bit difficult to formulate. It's like a death. When some people close to me has died, I've been experienced just like I'm being on the verge of dying myself. And what I noticed was that there is a very caring and a very like love is receiving me when I die. That's one thing. And the other thing is that I'm aware that I will forget everything. Like I will forget my children and my family and everything to go into that field of love and soothing energy, you could also say. And I also noticed that this love will take care of me, so that there will be no longing for me when I pass over. And I heard you on a download saying that to be dead is like not being able to remember life. And that was very good to hear. And then I see that I have thoughts and things happening in my life, and I see that they go away always. That's forgetting. And then this and when I rest especially, and this soothing energy is coming, and it's a little, it's a similar to this encountering death. I don't know really what my question is, but it's like when I heard you said this, that to be dead is like forgetting that life, then I had the feeling that there was more to this. I wanted to hear more about it.
About death?
Yeah, about death and what it is. And I think the reason is that it is because as I am alive, I'm still afraid of leaving. So that's why I want to hear more about that.
You're alive, but you're afraid of living?
I'm afraid of leaving.
Leaving.
Like when I die.
Uh-huh, of leaving.
All my life I've been very conscious around that. You know.
Uh-huh. Afraid of leaving life.
Yeah. So that's why I want to hear more about it, you know. It's like,
well, it could be said that teachings like this are preparation for death. And that everything occurs within a condition of natural perfection is not even an idea that enters into the field of experience of most people. So you see, just hearing the idea that everything exists in a natural state of perfection doesn't enter the field of experience of most people. So just to have it enter the field of your experience, just the idea alone, without even an understanding of it, or let alone the direct experience of it, is extremely powerful. And what it really comes down to is that we really only have two ways of going about life. One is to focus on all the imperfection and try to control our thoughts, emotions, and other experiences, to try to make them into perfect experiences or better experiences. And the other is just to let everything be as it is in its naturally perfect condition, including ourselves. And for many of us, we go through a rigorous process of training ourselves in the imperfection of everything, because we're involved in this process of trying to control what we're thinking and feeling and experiencing, and rather than just remaining as we are. And when we're constantly trying to regulate what's going on, it becomes impossible to remain as we are, because we're always trying to control everything that's going on. And most especially death. So when we're trying to control everything that's going on, really what we're doing is denying the death of the here and now, that the here and now is always spontaneously self-releasing in its own soothing energy. So when we start to just remain naturally as awareness for short moments repeated many times, then we're acknowledging that everything is naturally perfect. It's our way of just acknowledging that. In the same way that we've trained ourselves to acknowledge that everything is imperfect. Do you see what I'm saying? Or that there are some things better than others, but never, things aren't ever really perfect. It's just better than the usual garbage. And so, and then when it comes to ideas like cause and effect, we just accept that that's the case. We accept that everything is due to cause and effect. And when we begin to rest naturally as awareness, we start to hear that, and really experience too, that awareness is beyond causality. But we're not quite too sure about it at first because we've trained ourselves to look at things in another way. And so just continue to rest as awareness and all this will resolve itself. But it does require complete trust in that. There's no way to combine the two. There's no way to try to combine cause and effect with resting naturally. They don't go together. It's like oil and water. They just don't go together. See, from the perspective of awareness, which is beyond causality, that perspective understands everything about the world of causality. It understands everything perfectly about the world of cause and effect, but that doesn't need to get caught up in it. It can either use it and have some fun with it or not. But in terms of buying into it as a belief system, never. So after we are introduced to awareness, then it's important to make a 100% commitment to that awareness. I know you've heard me say that over and over again. And it's only with that 100% commitment that confidence can come about. Complete confidence in awareness, indwelling confidence. And then that confidence becomes absolute certainty. Now, if you're sitting in this room, it's likely that you've had enough of points of view. You've had enough of believing that points of view are real and something in their own right. It's just way too painful. It's way too painful. And so you're here because you're at least partially committed to resting as awareness, but everyone in this room is probably totally committed. And that commitment does anyone have about 100 more Kleenexes? Oh, good. Very good. And it's very, when we realize that we can gain confidence in awareness, it's very moving. And so we may have all kinds of tears, but they're really more tears of relief and tears of joy than just total hopelessness like we may have once felt, or bewilderment or despair. So just that relief of knowing that there is relief It's incredible. It's totally incredible, because to just move along through life without any possibility whatsoever of ever resolving anything that's going on is incredibly painful. It's totally painful. And two, when beginning to rest as awareness, it's important not to be hard on yourself, you know, to be a taskmaster, saying, you better rest, you've got to rest, I'm a loser because I'm not resting, or whatever it is. It's to rest naturally for short moments repeatedly until it becomes automatic, just whenever you remember to do it, not as some kind of torture. And just based on that simple kindness to yourself of resting as awareness, when you remember to do so, it will accumulate to more and more moments every day that you'll be acknowledging the naturally perfect condition. And the more you do so, the more you'll see that points of view are like an illusion. They're like a mirage. They appear to exist, but there isn't really anything there. But at the same time, you can't say that they either exist or they don't exist. And that's the power of awareness. Awareness is beyond the need to make any kind of extreme judgments about anything that's going on. It doesn't need to be this way or that way. And, you know, everything goes. Resting as awareness doesn't mean not having feelings. It doesn't mean that at all. It just means that one becomes totally carefree and at ease with whatever's going on. All the thoughts, all the emotions, all the experiences. And increasingly there is the presence of awareness as the essence of all those experiences, and that's very obvious and evident, rather than not evident at all. And there's more and more relief in that, because the more familiarity there is with awareness, the more confidence there is in it. And the more confidence there is in awareness, the less points of view are troublesome or bothersome. The only reason they seem to be problematic is because we convince ourselves that they are. That's it. And so, when beginning to rest as awareness, just take it easy. Take it easy. Most of us have never really learned how to be with ourselves or with other people. And the only way we can learn to be with ourselves is through gaining confidence and awareness. The only way we can learn to be with other people is by gaining confidence and awareness. So the solution is clear, isn't it? It really is. Now, if you don't want to rest as awareness, then just forget it, you know. But see, once you come here, you can never forget it. Because you always know what the solution is, so yeah. And because there isn't a destination, there's no pressure. There's no pressure to be anybody or do anything or get anywhere. And there's no need to be hard on yourself in any way. Just be totally gentle and caring and loving. That's what resting as awareness is all about. It's not about getting yourself all tied up in knots over resting as awareness. It's just remaining as you are. And if you absolutely don't know how to get along with other people, which, and most people don't, so, you know, it's just a major daily struggle as to what we're going to do with all these other people that we've been burdened with. In addition to ourselves. Well, you know, we have some very helpful teachings. One is the 12 inquiries. That's a very helpful teaching about getting along with ourselves and other people. Very practical guidelines that keep us from getting blindsided by our points of view. And then we also have the principles of unity and service. They're excellent for working together in groups and maintaining unity and having a single focus of purpose and the principles of unity and service are extremely powerful. Would anyone here like to say something about the principles of unity and service for people who don't know anything about them? Ava, why don't you say something? I read one of your emails about the...
I've just recently started to become acquainted with the principles of unity and service, and what I find amazing is that they address every single issue that comes up that can turn into a problem in a way that... It addresses problems on all levels in a way where we can relate to each other in a very open and functional way instead of sort of the dysfunctional way that's been going on. And I find it rewarding that I don't have to myself invent the wheel, sort of. So thank you.
Now, please, Kathy, go ahead.
I just wanted to say the principles of unity and service just support totally to find solutions to all kinds of questions and problems. That's why I love them very much. And they point to really to the inclusiveness of everything, including all our emotions and thoughts and inclusiveness of all people. So how to be in... with everyone and include everything. Mm-hmm. That's very valuable.
I'd just quickly like to say as well, being in India and Sweden for months with a big group of people, sometimes under very quite heavy workload, and to really not have one single conflict arise. I mean, having worked in many different areas of business and film and music, and knowing what a complete disaster most of those businesses are on a personal level, it's just horrendous to be able to work in under pressure with essentially complete strangers initially in a completely fluid manner is unheard of, really. So on a practical level, it's incredible.
The more familiar we become with awareness, the more hilarious points of view are. So that's good, isn't it? Now, if you had a microphone on me all the time, you would really believe what I'm saying, right, Heather? Heather hears it all, see, so. And because it's really, it's so amusing. At first, it might be a little disconcerting to see what we've been doing to ourselves by torturing ourselves with our points of view. However, the more familiar we become with awareness, the more amusing points of view are. And the more amusing everything is. Everything looks just kind of like a cartoon. And so us, our lives, other people, the world, it's like a cartoon world. And so it's important not to be overly serious about this. Now, many of us learned that in order to have well-being, we have to control our thoughts and emotions particularly, and our experiences to some degree as well. And so, you know, what we're saying when we say that is that there are causes and conditions that bring well-being or perfection about. And so that's like saying that the objects within space are the causes and conditions for creating space. Do you see what I'm saying? And so it's a totally misconceived idea. It's ill-conceived to believe that causes and conditions are going to lead to already present perfection. It's just like saying that the trees and the ocean are responsible for the creation of space. So that's an illustration that kind of points out the silliness of thinking in that way. Now, the beauty about resting as awareness is that it constantly is affirming. It's self-affirming. So the first instant of resting is awareness. There's that aha. It's like, oh, wow, I never knew this was here. I never knew that there was something about me that was just so cool. And so when we first acknowledge it in that way, then we just want to see more of it. You know, we want to test the waters some more, so to speak, to see if it really is there and if it's, I think the door is open back here and blowing. Mm-hmm. Sophie? Hi, Sophie. Now, that one instant of awareness, that first instant of awareness, is all there is. That's all there is. That's the center of the universe and all of the universe and all world systems, just that instant of awareness. And so you see, there's nothing to look for and there's nowhere to get to. It's just that in your own experience, by acknowledging awareness repeatedly, it becomes obvious at all times, finally. And so, you know, you can really count on that. Resting as awareness isn't like other things. It's not a thing. And so even though it may not seem like anything's happening initially, or you may question or doubt and say, oh, well, how can just a few minutes of awareness now and then add up to anything. Awareness isn't like that, it's self-kept. So every time you acknowledge awareness, the self-keptness of that becomes more and more obvious. And so it's really, really important to make sure that you have that 100% commitment and that you're not just toying around with the idea of awareness. But at the same time, be good to yourself. Be gentle with yourself. Take it easy. Take it easy. Mark my words, short moments, many times. That's all it takes.
For me, awareness is obvious most of the time. Resting, being up in my head or whatever. But sometimes in situations like this, we also have a fantastic sharing group, Great Freedom Sharing Group in Gothenburg. And I go into these states, I realize it's a state of expansion. It's almost, I feel weird. And I have had other kinds of states. Is that something that is common? Can you recognize that? It's very difficult to explain how it feels. But it's not apart from awareness, but it's just something that is happening, especially when I meet people who are resting,
mm-hmm.
or if I'm speaking about rest. So, and it feels like my head's going to explode somehow. And sometimes I go into extreme nowness, and I recognize as it as a state. So if that is, well, I can rest with that, I know that, but I just feel a bit confused about that.
Oh, sure. The in gaining familiarity with awareness, there are a lot of new points of view that come up, points of view you've never had before, maybe more interesting phenomena. And so when these more interesting phenomena come up, just don't make them into anything. Just continue to rest. They're all absolutely equal. And it isn't uncommon to feel greatly expansive when with other people who are resting. That's one of the interesting phenomena. And but again, it's not something to try to maintain or sustain any kind of energetic bodily state. Yeah. Because you know already from your experience with awareness that it doesn't have anything to do with an energetic bodily state. Yeah. It's beyond anything that can be described. It's free of all descriptions whatsoever. Yet it's the only substance of all descriptions. And so by remaining as that, it becomes obvious that it is the substance of all descriptions, even those that seem exotic and like something you would like to maintain forever. Recently, I gave a talk and I mentioned that death is the complete loss of memory of life. And I've had many responses to that, and everyone has liked it. As human beings, most of us have learned that what it means to be as a human being is to be born, to live a life, and then to die. So we just think that that's what being human is, and that while we're living our life every day, we go through the states of waking, dreaming, and sleeping. So the basic stuff of what a human being is birth, life, and death, waking, dreaming, and sleeping. And so when we have that kind of a belief system, our whole life is lived within the context that we're going to die. And we have a lot of questions about that and wonder what it's going to be like. Most of us are afraid of dying because we're so identified with the human body and the human mind and all our thoughts. And we're afraid of what it'll be like not to have a body and what comes afterward and that sort of thing. So in gaining familiarity with awareness, there is incredible power in realizing that death, too, is a point of view. It's just another point of view appearing in awareness, just like any other point of view, like life, or like birth, or like waking, or dreaming, or sleeping. And this all sounds philosophical to one degree or another, and it is philosophical to one degree or another until it's realized in one's own experience. And realizing it in your own experience can only come about by gaining familiarity with awareness. To really realize that even though you have the experience of being a human being, that you're always and forever flawlessly beyond being a human being and free of being a human being can only come about through experience. And with that comes about complete loss of the fear of death. Complete loss of the fear of death. And no question whatsoever about what's going to occur or what it'll be like or... And now a very simple, straightforward way to experience this is to rest as awareness and just see how the points of view appear and resolve, appear and resolve, appear and resolve simultaneously and instantaneously. And that is what death is. It's just that process of complete resolution. But in the death of the human body, there's the loss of the memory of life. And so there's no hanging out somewhere thinking, oh, hi, Lars, don't you see me? Here I am. Speak to me, Lars. Or, you know, any of those other ideas we might get. See, we've all had ideas like that. You know, someone we love dies and we say, well, you know, where are they now? Or can they hear me? Can they see me? Why can't I see them? If they can see me, why can't I see them? Better contact someone who can be in touch with them and tell me what's going on. Or, you know, so it's much easier to just gain confidence and awareness. Did that answer your question? Have I answered everyone's questions? You have a question? No? Paul?
My question is concerning individual point of view. When is the right moment to apply for the program of teaching?
Well, I have no idea. The The right moment is whenever it occurs to you to do that. And the right people to contact are... Oh, for you would be Kathy and Johan. They manage the teacher training for Europe and Asia. If you live in the U.S., then the person to contact is Mia Castle. In Australia is Mia. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. And they can guide you specifically in what the process is. Are you interested in that, or do you know someone else who is?
I am interested. And I was trying to rest, not to apply. No, you said once that I have to wait 1 year. So, but I feel that I'm not so sure why to wait anymore.
Well, we have a very specific process of application. And if you contact Kathy and Johan, they can describe that to you in detail.
I'm very happy because yesterday I went to a walk and I wanted to go to India and I didn't know for a long time what to do, and then I thought that it would be great to go to India and then in the evening I talked with Keith and he said I feel that you want to go to this teaching program and it starts to... It's difficult for me to rest. I had to say that. I tried to rest, not to say that I want that. But I feel this is really what I want.
Thank you.
Thank you.
How many people here have been involved in the pure intelligence teaching, have received that? And how many have received all of it, all 35 or... Uh-huh. Oh, Adam and Heather. Kathy and Johan, haven't you heard it all? Uh-huh. And Adrian, you have too? Okay, so. The pure intelligence teaching I would highly recommend to everyone. And so if you have an opportunity to receive that, please do, because everything you need to know about resting as awareness is in that teaching. Every single thing, it is extremely clear. Any possible confusion or doubt that will come up for you will be resolved in that teaching. Now, when we were at Angstvaka earlier in the year, we had several weeks of the pure intelligence teaching, and in June we had the beginning, and then in August we had the last section. There are 35 sections of it. And there are many opportunities to receive it, so please take advantage of it. It's when thoughts appear, if it's difficult for you to rest, it's really important to use the rest of the four comforts. The four comforts are resting as awareness, and the teacher, the teaching, and the community. And the reason that they're called the comforts is because they're comfortable. They're not a trick. They're not called comforts as a trick. They really are comfortable. And by relying on the community and the teaching itself and the teacher, it becomes much easier to rest as awareness. So the pure intelligence teaching is one of the teachings of great freedom, one of the three series of teachings. And in it, it describes every possible situation you could possibly encounter in terms of having a challenge with resting as awareness and what to do in that situation. Plus, it also very specifically describes in detail what it is to have awareness be obvious at all times. So it's very, very powerful. When thoughts appear, just ask yourself, where are they? You know, where are they located? Where exactly is the thought that you're having this moment? Can you say that it's inside you? Can you say that it's outside you? Can you say that it's substantial in any way? Does it have a shape or any kind of particular place or location that it is? And can you really say where it began or where it ends? And so you see that this is typical of what the pure intelligence teaching is like. It very specifically guides you in how to look at your experience in a very thoroughgoing way. And then when you look at thoughts in that way, then you can ask yourself about any thought, you know, well, what about the thought of love? Where is that located? What is it shaped like? Where does it begin and end? And then ask yourself about another thought, like anger. How is it different from the thought of love? How is one thought different from another? Are they really different in any way? Or does the imposed difference come about through training ourselves to believe there is a difference? And so you see, this is very tangible, a very tangible way of looking at your own experience and really seeing that what you call a thought really isn't a thing. It really isn't something that has an independent nature. It doesn't have an individuated identity that is self-generated. It didn't make itself come about. And when we believe that our thoughts have the power to either help us or harm us, we believe that they are individual things with a power of their own that is somehow at odds with us and can either affect us beneficially or in a harmful way. And so, you know, many of us have been plagued, especially with thoughts related to emotions, and emotions are really just thoughts. They wouldn't be anything without the thought that describes them. And when we give our bodily states or mental states that kind of power, then we feel crazy. It's as simple as that. We feel like we can't possibly trust ourselves because there's always this war going on within all these thoughts and emotions, and then trying to control them or regulate them in some way. When we've tried to keep such a tight grip on what we're thinking, then it can be alarming just to let it be as it is. But there's no rush. Short moments repeated many times. That's it. In that simple way, in your own experience, you'll have a clear and clear understanding of who you are. Now, if you are feeling totally distracted by a thought and you're trying to rest as awareness and can't, then just try prolonging the thought while being aware. Just prolong it, just let it go, but remain aware at the same time. See what happens. There's no way to keep it in place. That's what you'll find out if you've never tried this. It's just like if you are really angry at someone and then you start to control the anger in some way by indulging it, avoiding it, or replacing it with something else, then you never really get to see what happens with the anger if you just let it be as it is. If you just let it be as it is, you might notice that it plays out in a certain way, but then it just completely resolves on its own. So that's the point of resting as awareness. All these mental phenomena, they are self-resolving, they're self-freeing. They're free in their own place. They're spontaneously self-freeing, with nothing needing to be done about them. Just like mist evaporating in the air. There's nothing to be afraid of about yourself. Nothing at all. The more confidence you gain in awareness, the less confidence you'll have in the power of points of view. It's as simple as that.